Thank you. Okay, one more time, if you could put that slide up there. I want to thank our media people, but here's the slide that shows our website, truthwithjohn.com. Get your phone out, your smartphone, make yourself a note, go home, look it up, and see what we have to offer there. Everything on that site is free. We charge for nothing. Sermon downloads, instant ability to listen to messages without downloading. There's something there for everybody. And a newsletter where we every month have new articles, teaching articles, and it will be a blessing to you, and some really amazing photography from Colorado that was there. And Pastor Leon told me he was a little bit confused. He thought that was like a slide taken like last year or the year before, whatever. No, we took this a week ago up in the high country of Colorado. And that's the kind of stuff you see on our website. So if you like good photography, you can enjoy it there on our website. All right. I want to just quickly thank everybody who's helped this weekend to make this spiritual emphasis a success. I want to thank all of the people that helped yesterday morning. That was a major, major effort to have 230 people. They all had to be fed, and it was something special, and it went off like clockwork, and that's because of faithful people and faithful volunteers. So thanks to all of you. And I want to thank the media people who've been putting the slides up there. I've done something this week that I don't usually do. All the material that I've brought to you this week was brand new. I've never taught these messages before. I've taught some of the material in them, but I've never taught these messages. And so whenever you do that, things are subject to change. And this afternoon, I spent probably 3 hours just going over these notes. I was telling someone earlier, have you ever been in a service when Pastor Joel preaches? You know, he's so abusive to me that I got to get back at him just a little bit. So I didn't say to them, Pastor Joel, but I'll say it to all you now. Have you ever been in a service when Pastor Joel preaches and he's up there just going at it and you're like, where is he going with this? Does he even know where he's going with this? And all of that. Well, that's the way I felt today when I was going over my notes. I'm like, I don't know where I'm going with this. And everybody's going to be sitting out there going, where is he going with this? So it was like, I spent 3 hours redoing these notes, so hopefully now the bus driver will know where he's going. And we hope so. But anyway, at the last minute, we had to call these guys and tell them, change this slide and change that slide and take this one out and put this one in. And they're just, bam, yeah, you want that? You got it. And so we just say a huge thank you. Let's give our media guys big round of applause.
You can get my microphone on, please.
Okay. I've had a lot of requests for this, and it's the only reason I mention it. A lot of people are saying, I want to give to other people the teachings on marriage yesterday morning. I've had people come to me after the service today and say, I want to send to loved ones, family members and loved ones, Friday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, on end times and prophecy. You can make, you know, you can go online and download all this stuff and cost you nothing. But if you want to put it in a CD form and give it to somebody, I don't know what they cost, $3 a piece or what, just what it costs us to make them. For Donna and I, we will be sending the Saturday morning to our married kids. We will be sending Friday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night to all of our family. And if you want to do that, just give us a few days to get this all under our belt and edit out all of the heresy that has been spoken. And we'll have these ready. You can order those from our office. We'll get them to you. get these messages out to people.
I thought he was going to get up here and slam me. All right. But that's wonderful. And we're going to put them on our website. But we're planning to put the first one from the prophecy messages. That would be the Friday night message. That's going to go on the 1st of October on our website. And it will be you can listen to it. You don't need to download it. And then the 1st of November, we will take all three of them and make them available as downloads, and no charge for any of that. But again, if you want a hard copy to give to somebody, you have to get it through the church here. And naturally, the marriage thing we did Saturday morning will also go on at some point in the future, probably not too far down the road. Okay, let's get after this, and do a little review here, especially for our friends that have come from another church here and weren't here for Friday night and for this morning. We've just been looking at the return of Jesus. You do know he's coming back.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my goodness, that gets me excited to know Jesus is coming back. Sometimes people are—they just don't see it as being something that's like going to happen now. Well, it's going to happen now, sooner or later. All right, and I really get the feeling it's going to be very, very soon. We're supposed to know the season. The Bible's very plain about that. We are not in the dark. It should not overtake us like a thief in the night. It's going to overtake the people who don't have the truth, who don't read their Bibles. But if you read your Bible, there's no reason that this thing should overtake you as a thief in the night. You won't know the date, but you definitely are supposed to know the season. And you know, I was thinking about it. You know, when it comes to being ready and getting ready, really, that's where it all starts. If you're convinced that Jesus Christ, we're living in the season of his soon return. Hey, listen, you're going to have some motivation to get ready. See, I believe it with all of my heart. I'm telling you, I believe it with all of my heart. And therefore, I'm concerned about myself being ready, my wife being ready. I'm really concerned about my children being ready. And I would hope that some of you are. Well, I won't talk about my children, okay? I just wish they all were more in love with Jesus, okay? They're good kids, but I wish they were more in love with Jesus. I wish they were more committed to really being faithful in church attendance and things like that. To me, it's very important. You know why? I also am concerned about my grandchildren. This is just critically important. My grandchildren, I just can't imagine going up in the rapture and my grandchildren are left down here. It is absolutely unacceptable. And so to me, everything starts with, let's get convinced that we're living in the season of Jesus' return. And if you're here tonight, And you're saying, well, I'm not so sure about that. Maybe this is the season, maybe it's not. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions, okay? Why aren't you sure? What more proof do you need? Do you need more scripture to be fulfilled? If so, which ones? How dark do the clouds have to get before you run for cover and go, I think the lightning is about to flash? See what I'm talking about? To go in our world today and say, well, I'm just not convinced that this is the season of the Lord's return. I'm just not convinced of that. Listen, I've got to tell you something. You are willfully ignorant of the times that you are living in, and you're going to regret it. I'm telling you that. And so tonight, we're just going to begin to look at what does ready look like. And I want to give you some good news. It's not difficult. Come on now. It's not difficult to be ready and to know that you are ready. And I just as well go right now where we're going to go in this entire message. The key is real simple. It's your heart. It's what's in your heart. And if the right stuff is in your heart, you're going to be ready. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I want you to know something. Your heart being right where it should be, right with God, having the right stuff in your heart will preserve you and will make sure that you are ready for the return of the Lord. Now, let me try to just set this up so you can become more understanding of why I say your heart is the entire issue. When Jesus was asked in Matthew 24 about his return, Jesus said this. He said, I think it's significant. The very first thing he said, the disciples came to him. They said, when are these things going to be? What's going to be the sign of your return and of the end of the age? The very first thing that Jesus said was in verse 4 in answer to their question. And he said, take heed that no man deceive you. Then in verse 11, he says this. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Then in verse 24, Jesus says, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. They shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive even the very elect. And I'm not going to get into that discussion, that argument of is it possible or not possible that the elect would be deceived during this time. I'm not going to go there because I really don't have any answers, okay? Everybody has an opinion, but I'm not sure anybody has any answers. But Paul also picked this up in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I find it so interesting how that Paul's teachings were, so many of them were drawn from Jesus' teachings. I find that absolutely fascinating. Nowadays, false teachers, they come up with stuff that contradicts what Jesus taught. But I'm telling you, Paul didn't do that. Paul dovetailed on and rode the coattails of Jesus' teachings. So here in 2 Timothy 3:13, Paul says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, let me tell you something about false teachers, because I will guarantee you that every one of you, if you haven't already been exposed to some false teaching, you are going to be exposed to some false teaching. It is rampant in our world today. It is another one of the things that convinces me that we are living in the season of the return of Jesus. False teachers are abounding. And I've done quite a little bit of study on this. Maybe it's because it really ticks me off. I use my website to, in every way I can, to keep putting truth out there so that people have something they can grab hold of. Because, listen, the false teachers are really slick. They are smooth, they're slick, and they are very, very persuasive. And I want you to understand that, because you shouldn't sit there right now and go, well, I don't have to worry about false teachers. I know what the truth is. Let me tell you something. The false teachers, I'm telling you, they could sell ice cubes to Eskimos. They are really slick. And let me tell you why they are so incredibly effective at leading people astray. It's because false teachers will always start by using the truth of God's word. Now, some of you are sitting there going, what? How can they be false teachers and use the truth of God's word? Let me show you an illustration. They use the truth of God's word to camouflage the error that they're about to try to push on you. I like to use this illustration. A jelly-filled donut. You love jelly-filled donuts? I love jelly-filled donuts. Can't eat them. I'm diabetic, so I can't eat them. But I love them. Here they are. They look so good. And you just know what's inside there. You just know, man, you're going to bite into that jelly-filled donut, and the best part is on the inside. Oh, man, it's so good. But what if a baker, instead of putting jelly that's good in the inside, put poison? Deadly, deadly poison. You wouldn't walk into the bakery, look at the jelly-filled donut, and go, I'm not going to eat that. That's got poison in it. No, you wouldn't see the poison because it was carefully hidden by the donut. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? You're sitting there a little bit quiet right now. Well, that's what the false teachers do. They start with the truth of God's word. They'll tell you this thing, and it's true. They'll tell you that thing, and it's true. And the other thing, and it's true. And then all of a sudden, bam, there it is. Something that is absolutely false, and it is absolutely deadly to your spiritual life. Let me give you an illustration. This is one that's big right now. It's a new method of evangelism. And I appreciate my brother what he was saying today about how that you know in our church in Colorado, we didn't use the latest evangelism model and all of that stuff that people are coming up with nowadays. It was just a simple thing. We just had the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We just had a genuine old-fashioned move of God, and people just turned out by the thousands. All right, that's it's just that simple. There's nothing else. And I had people all the time come to me, how did you make this happen? How did you make this happen? Well, number one, we didn't make it happen. And how did it happen? It just, God just sovereignly moved here and showed up, and the rest is history. But nowadays, they have these new methods of evangelism. Oh, man, we have discovered the key to reaching the lost. And they'll start out like this. And I'm just going to ask you to respond to the statements that I'm going to make right here. And I want you to respond out loud with true or false. Okay? We on the same page? All right? You're not just going to sit there and look at me. True or false? Here we go. We need to love the sinner. This is not hard. See, now, if I'm a false teacher, I'm getting you on my side. I'm getting you in agreement with me. See how that works? Okay? We need to love the sinner. True. Here's the next one. Did Jesus say this? Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Did Jesus say that? Yes, Jesus said that. We need to love the sinner. We shouldn't be like throwing stones at the sinner. Jesus said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Of course, we won't talk about the fact he also said to that woman, don't go sinning anymore. Cut that out. We'll just conveniently ignore that part of it. How about this one? Jesus ate with sinners. Okay. Some of you still haven't responded. This is not a trick. How about this one? We need, as Christians, to reach out to the sinner. Yes, you're doing better now. We need, as Christians, to build bridges to the sinner. Yes. Church needs to be a place where sinners can feel comfortable. Wow, you've done a good job, Pastor Joel. Now, you see, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Oh, all of these things are true, 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 true. And then all of a sudden, we need to make our churches a place where sinners can come and feel comfortable. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. When you've got a preacher in the pulpit who's preaching the truth, and he's doing what Paul told Timothy to do, I want you to reprove and rebuke with all long suffering. I want you to expose the works of darkness. When you've got a preacher who's preaching the true word of God, there's never going to be a sinner that can come in here and feel comfortable. Because if they can come in here and feel comfortable, they'll walk out as lost as when they came in. You understand the concept, what I'm talking about? Every false teacher will start with truth. And he'll get you to agree. This is a good man. He's just saying truth, 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 truth. And then all of a sudden, there'll come something that, bam, it's just as contrary to the word of God as it possibly can. So how do you and I keep from being deceived? It's real simple. If your heart is right, you won't be deceived. And here's why I say that. When your heart is right, you're going to be living a life that's so passionately in love with Jesus, and you're going to be so close to Jesus, and you're going to be so filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. And so what happens is this. I've had people tell me this that were in churches where false doctrine was being taught. They said, we just sat there and we listened to this message and it was just sounding so good. And then all of a sudden, bam, there was this thing. And it was like my gut, my spirit man just went, ooh, ooh, there's this check in the spirit. Now, listen. You listen, there's no way that your intellect can sort it all out. I'm telling you, you won't sort it all out. But if you are in right relationship with God and you have the right stuff in your heart will tell you, your spirit man will tell you, this right here is not right. And you will not be deceived. Does anybody agree with what I'm preaching right now? Yeah, there it is. Now, let me tell you something about having your heart right. If your heart is right, you will be willing to fight like a man possessed to defend the truth. All right? If your heart is right, you're not interested in everybody walking up to you and going, coming up to you and going, oh, that was the most wonderful sermon. Pastor Joel, it just warmed my heart to see how you just love the sinner so much. And you just want him to feel comfortable in our church. Pastor Joel, that was just wonderful. Let me tell you something. Anytime somebody came to me like that, I'm like, what did I say wrong? I must have done something wrong here. I must have said something wrong. Because you know something? Last time I checked, you know what? Preaching the gospel is not supposed to be popular. You better be ready to stand in the face of opposition, and you better have the courage to say, I will not back down. I am going to have some things that are absolutely non-negotiable. I don't care if the whole world is flocking to this mega church or that mega church and saying, oh, this pastor is amazing. That pastor is amazing. Oh, finally, we have found the key to world evangelism. We're just going to let everybody live like they are. And if they fill our churches, we've evangelized them. No, you haven't. You got a church full of lost people that are going to hell. Because you didn't have the courage to preach the truth. And so the fact of the matter is, every one of us, not just the preacher, every one of us need, if our heart is right, to have a list of things that we say, this is non-negotiable and I'm not backing down. I don't care what everybody else says or what they're doing. I'm not backing down. Now, I'm going to give you my list. I don't doubt a bit that your list might include some things that mine don't. The only reason mine isn't longer is because I don't have all night to preach. All right? That's the only reason. Otherwise, mine would be longer. But if I had to take the number one things, the top of my list, here's where it would start. Number one, this is my list of non-negotiables. And I encourage you, I beg you, get a list of non-negotiables where this isn't going to change. This is where I'm at, and I am not moving, and I don't care what happens. This will never change. Number one, Jesus is God in the flesh. Ha ha! Jesus is God in the flesh. He is not just some great prophet or some temporary man of God who just came and now he's been supplanted by some other prophet or whatever. No, no. There's never been one like him before. There's never been one like him since. And there never will be anyone that will be like him. He is in a class of his own. He is a God-man, God incarnate in the flesh, the only sinless one who died on the cross for my sin. And I'm going to tell you something, because he died on the cross, Philippians 2, 9 and 11 says, therefore God has exalted him to the highest place, given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yeah. Hallelujah. About to preach myself happy. Glory to God. Number two, salvation is only through him and faith in his name. Already, this great foundational truth of Christianity is under attack. The false teachers are teaching that there are many paths to God. And I'm not afraid to call them out by name. Somebody's like, well, it's not nice if you criticize another man's ministry. Oh, no, if another man is a true minister, it's not nice. But when he's a false teacher, I'll call him out. This is just basic cardinal teaching of the Christian faith. Folks, you can't go any other way. Listen to this. Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby and in which we must be saved. There is nobody else. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to the Father is through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. I mean, what part of this don't you understand? And so, there's another one of my non-negotiables. And here's the third one. The only inspired book on planet Earth is the Holy Bible. The Book of Mormon is not inspired of God. The Quran is not inspired of God. There's nothing in there that is, its source is God. Only the Bible is the inspired word of God. Now you gotta listen, somebody's like, why do you gotta be so narrow about it? Huh. Oh, why? Okay, let me show you why. Duh, this is not rocket science. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure this out. Supposing that I'm over here and I'm like, the Bible is the only inspired word of God. That's it. But over here is my false teacher wife. I can't use them. They'll be upset with me. I just made a big mistake. Now she's upset with me. I'd rather have you upset with me than her. Supposing here's a false teacher. Ha! Wallet? What?
If you need an example, I volunteer.
I'll be back there to you next. Here's the false teacher. Oh, no, 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 no. Here's another book. This is inspired of God, and we need to include this also, okay? All right? And so now, supposing I go, oh, well, maybe we need to make an exception here. We'll let this. Well, then next thing you know, here is the really bad false teacher. Thank you for volunteering to take my abuse. here's the really bad false teacher. And they're like, oh, no, here is this book called The Principles of Satanism. And this is inspired by God as another way to come to God. And I'm like, before long, you've got so many books and there is so much confusion. You have lost your clear guidance and your direction that the Bible is intended to give you. You don't know what's going on, because I guarantee you that book over there is going to contradict the Bible somewhere. This other book's going to contradict the Bible somewhere. So folks, just dig your heels in and go, you know what? I don't care if I'm accused of being narrow-minded and all of those things. I stand for what I believe, and that is the Bible is the only true word of the living God. Yeah. Number four. Boy, I'm really going to get off on this one. Jehovah and Allah are not the same. Recently, a false teacher taught that it's all a matter of semantics and language differences. That in Arabic countries, they don't have a word in their language, in Arabic, that's God. But instead, the word that they have for God is Allah. And so you Christians, you narrow-minded Christians, need to get over it. If somebody's praying to Allah, get over it. It's just a language thing. They're getting good. False, false. Listen to me. Allah is the God of Islam. I don't care what language on planet Earth you speak. Allah is the God of Islam. And as such, Allah is a false God. And I'm going to say something else about that. And you just as well accept this. Islam and Christianity are incompatible with each other. And I make this statement very, very plain and clear, because already, there are some false teachers that are saying this. This is classic. You can be both a Christian and a Muslim at the same time. That's what they're saying. That you're both praying to the same God anyway. You use the word Allah. We use the word God. We're both praying to the same God. So you know what? You can be both a Christian and a Muslim at the same time. Now, I'm just going to tell you something. That's impossible. People that say that are as ignorant as a... almost said something bad. See, my wife and I, before we came to these meetings, I want to put all this on the website. And I said, if I just really control myself and don't do anything bad that has to be edited out, I won't have to edit the tapes. Oh, you must be praying, honey. God put a watch on my mouth. I almost said you're as ignorant as a dog turd. Oops, I said it. That's just ignorance gone to seed. Anybody who understands Islam knows you cannot be a Muslim and a Christian at the same time. Then they'll say this, well, you know, can Catholics be Christians? If I'm a Catholic, that is so offensive to me. That's just horrible to compare Catholicism to Islam. I'm here to tell you, there are lots of born-again Catholics. They love God with all of their heart, and they're truly born again. But there is not one person on planet Earth who tenaciously holds to the doctrines of Islam who also can say, and I'm also a believer in Jesus Christ, because Islam says that there is only one God. He has no son. That's one of their tenets of their faith. And I'll just tell you something. You watch and see. That's going to come bigger and bigger and bigger. And people like you that want to say Jesus is the only way, and you cannot be a Muslim. You want to become a Christian? You have to disavow Islam. People like you and me are going to be spoken evil of as being bad people who don't have a heart for the lost. Well, I'm sorry. I base my foundation upon what the Word of God says. And then, what else? Oh, this one. Number five, my list, non-negotiables. Homosexuality is an abomination in the eyes of God. Now, somebody might say, well, I can understand all these others, but why are you getting off on this one? About 15 years ago, I first established my list of non-negotiables. And I put that on the list. And I knew people were like, why would he make that on the list? That's not a big deal. Got some people that want to live that lifestyle. That's up to them. And that shouldn't be on your list. Well, you see, I told people 15 years ago, this is why I'm putting this on my list. Because that is not only a sin that is an abomination to God, but it is a sin that the homosexual community is trying to force the rest of us to accept. I said that 15 years ago. People now write me on my website and go, you were a prophet. You spoke prophetically. I realize that gift rests upon me, especially when it comes to football games. But we found it came to pass. They pushed it and pushed it and pushed it until they got it to the Supreme Court. And because of our ungodly government officials that appointed ungodly judges, Supreme Court says it is now legal in every state in this country. And I listened to a news interview right after that. There were two lesbians that were married in a false church. And then they interviewed one, and she said, it's just so good to know that finally we are married in the eyes of God. And I shouted at my TV, and I said, you are not married in the eyes of God. Maybe you're married in the eyes of a judicial system that is godless, but you are not married in the eyes of God, because you know what? Just because the Supreme Court said what they said doesn't change what the book says. Never will. The book says it's an abomination to God. Now, you don't like that. You have friends that are homosexuals, and you think, oh, the church shouldn't say anything about that. Hey, do you love your friends? If you love them enough to tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. Turn or burn, baby, because that's the way it's going to be. End of discussion. Last but not least, number six, I'm going to read this as I have on all my notes. If you claim to be a Bible teacher and your, quote, new revelations, end quote, disagree with any of the above, you're a false teacher. Therefore, I will not listen to anything else you have to say, for you have been proven to be very, very dangerous. Hello? Don't call yourself a Bible teacher. You want to put a sign up on the outside of your church saying this is the first church of the false teaching? At least you're honest. But don't stand up and say, I'm teaching the truth. And then you teach that kind of garbage. Because I'm telling you, it's garbage. It's not truth. And you need to know that you folks can't sit in that kind of a church. You can't be there. You can't let your children be there. You got to run. Get out of Dodge. because that's a very dangerous place to be. But let me just tell you something. If your heart is right, you can have that kind of a list, and you can add more to it, and you can dig your heels in and fiercely defend the truth of God's word. You will not have a problem doing that. Why? Because your heart is right. And how do you know if your heart is right? Well, that's one of the ways. Here's another way. Lot intrigues me, and I won't spend a lot of time talking about him. I talked about him this morning, but he intrigues me. He did stupid things, and yet the Bible says every day that he lived, he was vexed by what he saw. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, "But that good man Lot, driven nearly out of his mind by the sexual filth and perversity, was rescued, surrounded by the moral rot day after day after day. That righteous man was in constant torment." Now, I want to say something to you as I start to wrap this up. If your heart's right, you cannot possibly live in the world we're living in today and not be vexed every day. I'm vexed every day. I'm vexed by the horrible slaughter of Christians in the Middle East. I am vexed by parents killing their children. I am vexed by the horrible slaughter of the unborn. I am vexed by children killing their parents. I am vexed by the decisions of our Supreme Court. I am vexed by gay parades. I am vexed by gay marriage. I am vexed by a president that condemns Christianity and at the same time defends Islam as being a peaceful religion. I am vexed at a world that hates Israel and hates the Jews. I am vexed by politicians that are wicked and corrupt. I am vexed out of my mind by preachers who are afraid to speak the truth. I am vexed by a society that refuses to hear the truth. I am vexed by a nation that is in a death spiral of moral decay. I am vexed by the death of innocents in theater and school shootings. I am vexed by the revelation that our entertainers are moral perverts. I am vexed by the fact that the prayer has been removed from our schools. I am vexed by the fact that the Ten Commandments have been removed from our courthouses. I am vexed by the slaughter of our young men and women on the battlefield. I am vexed by the fact that over 50% of all marriages end in divorce today. I am vexed by the racial hatred in our nation. I am vexed by the trafficking of innocent young boys and girls in the sex trade. I am vexed by the release of murderers and rapists who go out and kill and rape again. I am vexed by the legalization of marijuana in the state of Colorado. I am vexed that good men are despised, and I am vexed that good is being called evil and evil is being called good. I am vexed, and the list goes on and on and on, and you cannot open up your computer any day of the year, not one day of the year, and not find something that ought to vex your soul. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're not vexed, you are not ready. Ready looks like vexed. And the last thing is this. Ready looks like this. Titus 2, 11 to 15. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that rejecting ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, always looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." That's what ready looks like. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise you. My friend, the return of Jesus is the only hope for this world. I'm here to tell you that. We Christians ought to be crying out for Jesus to come back. And look at your heart tonight. Are you ready? Look at your heart. Question number one, Do you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength? And do you hate evil? If your heart's right, you'll hate evil. Question number two, are you totally committed to the defense of the truth? You don't need man to pat you on the back, tell you what a great person you are. No, you only need the approval of Jesus Christ, and therefore you fiercely defend the truth. Number three, are you looking for the return of Jesus? Listen to me. You can be ready. It may require some repenting. There may be some of you sitting here tonight, and you're just a little bit upset right now because I touched on a subject that you didn't like. You don't like it when preachers talk about it. Maybe it was the Muslim thing, or maybe it was the homosexual thing. Who knows what it might be? But you're just sitting there going, I don't like that. I just don't like that. You need to repent. I'm telling you, you need to repent. What I gave here tonight was nothing wild or crazy or weird or fringe. I gave you the very central teachings of the Christian faith. I beg of you, for your own sake, for the sake of your children and your grandchildren, if there's something here that you're just struggling with, repent. Come to Jesus. Cry out for mercy. Ask God to open your eyes and show you how far you've strayed. And I want to close with a story. The most meaningful thing that has happened to me this weekend was after one of the services this morning. A man came up to me. He was weeping, tears running out of his eyes. And he said, I can't thank you enough for having the courage to come and speak what you spoke this morning. He said, I'm a Christian, but I know I'm not ready. I haven't been leading my family, my children, and God has just shown me I have a huge responsibility. I must change. I must repent. I have to make this right. And today, he said, marks the change in my life and in our family. And we are going to be ready when Jesus comes. I'm telling you, I just sat there. I said, that means more to me than anything in the whole wide world. I didn't come here because I wanted a place to preach in a big church. Next week, next Sunday, I'll be preaching in a church of about 125 people, okay? I'll have just as much fun there, okay? I didn't come for that reason, to preach to a bunch of people. I didn't come to get a big offering. I didn't come to have a lot of people pat me on the back and say, oh, it was so good to have you here and all that. I came here because I wanted to see lives changed. I wanted to see people who maybe were like Lot, making some bad mistakes, making some bad judgment calls, not having the value system that they needed to have, and they needed to get that changed. That's why I came here. So that meant more to me than anything else this entire week. And so one last time, I'm saying to you, please, check your heart. If you can't be in agreement with what I preach tonight, I'm sorry if you think, well, who are you? Well, I'm just a man who preaches the Word of God. That's who I am. And if you can't be in agreement with that, your heart's not right. Your heart is not right. I'm telling you, get your list of non-negotiables, review it. It will tell you whether your heart is right. Now, Lord, please, Holy Spirit, this is the part of the service that absolutely is totally dependent upon you. I am crying out for your help. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to draw people to yourself. God, if they need to be convicted, convict them. And God, if they're ready, then let them rejoice. Let them just rejoice at the top of their lungs that they are ready for your coming. And Lord, we're going to give you all the praise, the glory, because we know there are going to be lives and families whose destiny have been changed because of this weekend. I I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.